Thank you for listening to KHSU. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves. On today's Art Waves, North Coast Repertory Theater has launched its La Voz, in English, that is voice. It's a 3-year commitment to produce one play annually by a Latinx playwright, while also partnering with local Latinx organizations as a means of promoting culturally diverse representation. Its pilot play is Tanya Saracho's The Tenth Muse, which runs through April 7th. NCRT, this time, has partnered with local nonprofit organization Centro del Pueblo, a dream maker program of the Ink People Center for the Arts. My guests are NCRT Managing Artistic Director Calder Johnson. Also here is Brenda Perez from Centro del Pueblo.
Kind of the inspiration for me with this was it was actually something that started years ago back in graduate school when I was having a lot of conversations with people about diversity and inclusion in the theater, particularly locally too, and also just feeling like there was a lot of need for greater inclusion, particularly in the Latinx community. You know, that we have a very large population here, probably, I mean, close to 15% or so based on the last census, and there just really wasn't any representation happening, I felt, in the local theater scene other than a few isolated pockets at HSU or other places. And I spent a lot of time thinking about that. And when I became the managing artistic director of NCRT about a year and a half ago, that was one of the first things I wanted to start looking at, was like, how can we start producing more plays by Latinx playwrights and starting to create those opportunities and that kind of outreach with the community. So I started with this, this idea in my mind of doing a 3-year commitment of one show a year by a Latinx playwright, because I felt the public commitment was important, that it wasn't going to just be a one-off kind of project. It wasn't going to be a fly-by-night. It was going to be a yearly commitment to building this greater inclusion at NCRT. And, I mean, like I said, this was originally started a year and a half ago in my mind. And then, admittedly, also various political events happened. And, our current president was elected. And all of a sudden, for me, this project took on a degree of urgency that it had not originally had. And so we originally chose this play, The Tenth Muse, as the pilot play for this year. And then we also, because again the importance of outreach, we actually made contact with Central del Pueblo and Brenda originally through a call out for Latinx artists in the community, particularly being contacted through the Ink People Center for the Arts, who I've done a lot of work with in the past. And then from there, we've just been continuing to have a lot of great conversations and coming up with other fun events to do along with the show, like the poetry reading we had on March 3rd, and to be able to help each other out, particularly as Central del Pueblo has started their sanctuary initiative and moving forward on that with a lot of energy.
And so, Brenda, did Calder come to you and ask you what type of play to produce, The Tenth Muse? Brenda, was that your idea?
No, the play was already going on, but we collaborated to put some art in the lobby of the theater as an expression of how can we organize things together, put some art.
Okay, so just be clear on that, because when you were talking about going to Centro del Pueblo, I thought that you went to ask about what sort of plays.
That is certainly the direction that I want to see us heading with this project at NCRT, but also, I mean, part of the reality is with shows having to be chosen upwards of a year or even more in advance, I felt it was important to just start the ball rolling and then, continue to reach out to the community and find partners as we went.
And how did you hear about Centro del Pueblo, Calder?
The connection was through the Ink People Center for the Arts, and particularly when we were looking for other artists to collaborate with and artists to have in our lobby. And normally we have only one artist showing in our lobby at a time during our shows. But for this show, we have, if I remember correctly, five different artists showing their work in there. And that's been great. Really, really great opportunity.
Well, Brenda, please tell us more about Centro del Pueblo, when it was founded, and what its mission is.
Thank you very much. Centro del Pueblo started last year, and it has the mission to make a sanctuary city in Arcata. That was the goal, and last year they made it. I wasn't here at the time, so when I first arrived here, I looked for my community. I looked for spaces where I could speak Spanish, for example, or develop certain activities, and I find Centro del Pueblo. Since last year, we are trying to make activities in the open space, in the public space, as we think it's a very political use of the space, and as we think that it is very important for us to give this message. As Calder said, we are an important number of this population, and we are trying to reach the goal to make a sanctuary in the whole county, not only Arcata, but the whole county.
Yes, I'm noticing you have a campaign, the Humboldt Sanctuary Initiative campaign, is that correct?
Yes.
And you have... Is it several thousand signatures already? Or how many signatures do you have on a petition that you've created?
Yes, we have the first 1,000. We have 1,100, and we are very happy to have this number because it's been tough. It's been very hard to visit different places and to approach this message to people that is not used to discuss immigration aspects, only on TV maybe, and as a source of information. And as Calder also said, this urgency in the moment make us being in a bipolar situation with people that hate us or love us and are loving us or hating us. So it's very interesting, but it's also very challenging to have this message in the county. Well, we are trying to make a network of solidarity with the community. So what we refer to safe places is, for example, at this moment, we are facing the presence of ICE agents, Immigration Customs Agency agents. And so what we are doing is to offer spaces as our own houses or as churches or organizations that are trying to collaborate to have this, for example, hotline by phone and saying, well, the agents are here or there, so we are trying to protect the population. So this is the kind of network of security we are trying to develop.
Do you have a specific location? I couldn't find that on the Facebook. Where are you located?
We have a little office in 900 Hodgson Street. It's a church. And we are located there, but we are around the place. Like, we are in Fortuna mainly too. But we are in Arcata, the HSU and Latinx Center. McKinley-Vigo, we have a place in a bookstore. We have places with our allies in different cities of the county.
You hope at some point that Humboldt County will be a sanctuary county.
Yes, that's our goal. We need to put together 4,000 signatures. We are trying to reach 8,000 just to make clear this statement, just to make clear that people get interested in this subject, in this particular subject. But by law, we are 4% 4,000 signatures. And yes, we are going to do this for the first day of May. We are going to present the signatures. Last year, we tried to put the topic in the Board of Supervisors agenda, but it wasn't possible. So the strategy was just to reach people and they can vote this law in November.
Brenda Perez from Centro del Pueblo. Also here is North Coast Repertory Theater Managing Artistic Director Calder Johnson. I'm Wendy Butler, and you're listening to Art Waves on KHSU. We're discussing NCRT's latest production, The Tenth Muse, and the launch of the theater's three-year La Voz project. NCRT's primary partner for this play is Centro del Pueblo. In June of last year, Arcata City Council adopted an ordinance making Arcata a sanctuary city. Centro del Pueblo's 2018 main objective is a sanctuary law in Humboldt County. I'd like the both of you, or whoever wants to take this, but both of you would be great. I want to talk more about the play. I was really fascinated by this. I'm just going from the press release that you sent, Calder, in a nunnery basement. Three girls uncover a hidden manuscript and begin to act out its clever and bawdy farce. Then you go on to say, in these stolen moments, they learn about themselves, their world, and begin to discover the prolific legacy of one woman. Let's talk about that woman. The woman is Sor Juana Inez de la Cruz.
Very good, yeah.
Yes. So this is a fiction, though. This play is a fiction play, but is this woman a real writer and poet?
Yes.
Yeah, let's talk about this woman then.
Yeah, Brenda, please help me out on this too. Just to give you a little background on, you know, the person and the role she has within the story here. I mean, she was a 17th century nun in Mexico, in what would become Mexico City at the time. And she was, by all accounts, from an early age, brilliant. I mean, reading, you know, from like age two, you know, writing by age three, and just dedicated her entire life to, you know, to studies, you know, to mathematics, to science, to art, to poetry. She's a fascinating person because, I mean, I don't think here in the States we know much about her, but she's kind of a really big deal in Mexico. I mean, she's on the, was it the 200 peso note? She's a very well-known historical figure in Mexico. I mean, she was called in her day the 10th Muse, where we get the title of the show. Also, the Phoenix of the Americas, which is actually another reference that is made within the play itself. She is talked about and not really a central figure within the show itself, as you read from the description. You know, the show is about, you know, three girls rediscovering her legacy. But her poetry is still incredibly powerful.
Brenda, please tell me why this figure, this woman, is so important.
She's a symbol of rebellion for many reasons. She was a woman that was trying to develop her art, her beautiful art, in a very oppressive atmosphere. And in the 17th century, where the woman barely could learn to write, for example, or to speak different languages. And she was not only having the Nahuatl, which is the indigenous language, she also could learn Latin, and she went further. She's this enigmatic person that we learn since we are very, very young, because as our dear director Calder Johnson said, she's in the thick in the money. So we don't say 200 in Mexico, we say Sor Juana, give me a Sor Juana. So this is all the time in our symbol as a treasure to us. As he said, she's defined as a muse, she's defined as a warrior. For me, her legacy, it's about being against what is imposed to you as a woman, but also as a person. It's against the oppression of authorities, it's against what the gender or the social classes make with people. She's against the racism. She's against a lot of things that are current issues in modern societies. And as he said, the poetry is so current that it's very valuable. As a Mexican, I feel very, very appealed for going to see this play where they are talking about a person, but more like it's the spirit of this woman through the lives of all the characters. And that's what they made in a very amazing way.
So, Calder, you are directing it.
No, you're not the director.
Who's directing it?
Who's directing it? Carol Lang, who has she's actually been directing at NCRT for a very long time, and you know, she's incredibly passionate about the show, and you know, has put her heart and soul into this production, and that's been a really wonderful process, you know, to see happen.
Now, this is the first of several things that are going to happen through your La Voce project.
Okay. This is just the first of, you know, a 3-year commitment, a 3-year cycle. And I mean, honestly, from there on out, I don't see that also either as a saying like, well, we did 3 years and now we're done. Pack it in. But that this is really just the, hopefully, the start of making NCRT a more welcoming, inclusive, and diverse artistic organization. And yeah, like I said, the choosing for me of doing a 3-year cycle was, again, mostly just to really signal a degree of commitment to say that we really are going to be serious about this and we're going to do it year in and year out.
Well, then both of you, starting with Brenda, this partnership between Central del Pueblo and North Coast Repertory Theater, Brenda, what do you hope the audiences, the people aware of this project and coming to NCRT will take with them?
Well, thank you for asking that. I think since the first moment we start having this communication with the team of Calder, we just find a similar interest in showing art as a tool, a powerful tool of communication, since a lot of spaces are denied for us as immigrants, and since we have this like isolated situation. Sometimes because of the language is a barrier, sometimes because of the socioeconomic aspects as barriers too. We find like art can give us a chance to show what we have to deliver as a community. And since the first messages we exchange and the big opportunity to show poetry at the theater when Calder just invited us, we see it is like a strong alliance because we are pursuing interest in art, in just showing what we have inside to communicate. And the testimonies, we take as testimonies as a part of poetry. That's why we also mix poetry testimonies, because it's the experiences we are developing in this county. And we want to be close. So what I expect of this alliance and extraordinary help that Calder and all the team is doing is that the people that is visiting the play and that the people that come to the events have this knowledge of what we are and what is our message, what the sanctuary ordinance wants, different to what the TV says or the federal government says. Different to that, we want just to make clear our statement. And we think art is a beautiful vehicle to do that.
Yeah, I mean, just as you were just saying, Brenda, I mean, certainly, I mean, I feel very strongly about the capacity of art to educate and to open up discussions. And you know, as I was saying before at the beginning of this interview, it just always struck me for quite some time about just how significant, how large, you know, the Latinx population is in Humboldt County, and you know, how often it felt to me like just as there was a sort of cultural invisibility that was happening, like there wasn't really the spaces available, and there wasn't really the emphasis put on having, you know, that culture and that community represented. So, I mean, certainly, art felt to me like, you know, the right way of going about this and starting to do these shows, said like, okay, like here's a space. We want to tell these stories that, you know, are culturally relevant to you. And certainly then having the, you know, opening up the space and making that available and say, hey, please bring your art, you know, bring your art, bring your poetry, you know, share, you know, here's a space to share that. And then also to be able to let NCRT serve as a vessel for bringing up, you know, important political discussions that have to be had about, you know, the sanctuary initiative and about, you know, about the, you know, the state of immigrants in our country today. So, you know, if we're able to do this and continue this partnership and continue to collaborate in that way, I feel we'll be doing something good.
I want to say something else. As immigrants, we are taken as workers mainly. And for us, art is kind of the night. Also, like the space of art and culture is something like out of our hands sometimes. And for us, having the chance to be in the stage on that March 3rd, saying poetry was super powerful for us, like watching us in this mirror as poets or as people able to bring testimonies that people care about was powerful. They just give us this chance to go and raise a voice in a stage, in a theater. We were all playful and happy that day. I think we finished and we were just hugging each other, like, yeah, we made it. We are having other spaces that were usually denied, because for us it's all the working spaces, all the long journeys, all the 12 hours or 15 hours work, but it's never the theater or the culture. So for having this was just generous and powerful. So thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the art, the visual art, you know, the paintings, drawings, and of course the play. The powerful figure in the play, and one that you have known, Brenda, for so many years.
It was an honor for me, and I want to invite everybody to see this play. It's a very important play. All the messages every time is the technical aspects, like the scenario, how it's dynamic. So it's this illusion of you are inside. They erase that border between the scenario and yourself. You are there inside, and everybody is moving in a very dynamic way all the time. The actresses are splendid, all of them. Oh my God, they make me cry. At the end, I was crying just because the honor of watching Sor Juana without a character of Sor Juana, but all of them having this representation of an spirit. It's amazing, and it's current, and it has a lot of moments of humor, very powerful humor. People was laughing, then people was participating very actively. We get stressed because there are moments of where you are angry or something with authorities, and you are reaction like, ah, you want to jump over there and help. Oh my God, I love it, and I really invite everybody to see this very, very important play about equality, about how to discuss racism, how to discuss differences between gender, difference between social classes, how to accept women in arts and science. It's amazing.
Brenda Perez from Centro del Pueblo. To contact Centro del Pueblo, you can email cdphumboldt@gmail.com, or you can phone 707-203-2617. Also here has been North Coast Repertory Theater Managing Artistic Director Calder Johnson. The play is The Tenth Muse, and performances continue Friday and Saturday nights at 8 p.m. through April 7th. There will be one additional Thursday evening performance on April 5th at 8 p.m. And there will be a Sunday matinee performance on April 1st at 2 p.m. The Tenth Muse features brief, non-sexual nudity and adult themes and is suggested for ages 13 and older. NCRT is located at 305th Street in Eureka. Tickets and information are available at ncrt.net or 707-442-6278. That's it for today's program. Please join me again Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. You can also listen to Art Waves anytime online at khsu.org. And Art Waves podcasts are available for download from iTunes. Until next time, I'm Wendy Butler. Thank you for listening.